Today is the inaugural message propelling us into this conversation about hope called Look Up. And we're praying that God would help to anchor our hearts in hard times and in difficult times. And so it's like, welcome to all of us. Like, who's going through hard times? Well, congratulations on being a human being. So today's a chance, and these weeks of this series are a chance for us all to say, what do we do when we don't know what to do? What do we do when life's hard? We're going to be looking through lots of different parts of the scripture. Today, we start by looking at the Old Testament character of Joseph. Joseph, one of the most unique, amazing individuals in scripture. When we first meet him, he's 17 years old, and he's figuring stuff out. And so if you feel like, oh man, all the people in the Bible probably have halos, and they know so much, and they probably have advanced PhDs in spirituality. This dude was like fresh out of puberty, okay, and just figuring out life like all of us are trying to do. And he had some amazing promises from God to anchor his heart. And I want to talk to you today about what Joseph had to figure out. And that's this. Here's the title of our message. What to do when life sucks. Does that help you? Anybody else feel like, okay, I'm in the right place here today at all? What to do when life sucks, because sometimes, friends, it does. Sometimes on your journey, it will. What we're going to learn about Joseph is that his brothers, when he was 17, threw him into a pit. And what I want to say to you today, what I feel like my assignment is to let you know that sometimes when you follow the dreams that God has for your life, that pit happens. Pit happens. So what do you do when you find yourself in a pit? We're going to come at it from different angles, and it's going to be amazing. We've got to use all of them and stitch them all together to do something great. But pit does happen. So what do you do when life sucks? You keep your head in the clouds. Keep your head in the clouds. Psalm 105, verses 9 through 11 says, "The covenant which God," he, it's the capital he, "made with Abraham in his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob, for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. Moreover," verse 16, "he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread." Who's he? God. So in this story, God destroys the provision of bread. But before he did that, verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house. This is Pharaoh. And ruler of all his possessions. To bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. That does not mean God approved of the evil. It means God was greater than the evil. Joseph would later say to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." That's one of the greatest truths in Scripture. God can take what was meant to destroy you and use it to shape you, strengthen you, and bless others through you. So how do we keep trusting God when life hurts? Control what you can. The majority of the day, details of Joseph's life are out of his control. When you are in chains and you're now being sold to a guy named Potiphar, who's the captain of the executioners, basically for all of Pharaoh's armies, he would put people to death if they were guilty of something that would warrant that. You're now in this guy's house, and he's like, "All right, do this, do this, do this." What's out of control? Most of the details of Joseph's life were out of his control. But he could control his attitude, his faithfulness, and his response. When Joseph became a servant in Potiphar's house, he chose to work with excellence. He didn't spend every day bitter and angry. He honored God right where he was. The Bible says that God blessed Joseph and caused him to prosper, even in slavery. Now that's powerful. Joseph teaches us that we do not have to let difficult circumstances define our spirit. Many people become trapped, focusing on what they cannot control. But Joseph focused on what he could. He chose faithfulness. He chose integrity. He chose hope. Sometimes the greatest victory is simple refusing to let hardship turn your heart bitter. Learn and grow through the hard seasons. Joseph also grew through his suffering. When we first meet him, he's immature. He lacks wisdom and discernment. I mean, telling older brothers that they're going to bow down to you is probably not the best strategy for family harmony. But hardship matured him. Pain has a way of deepening us if we let God work through it. Joseph learned leadership. He learned patience. He learned wisdom. He learned how to deal with people. The same young man wandering in fields eventually became wise enough to lead a nation through famine. Sometimes God develops us in hidden seasons before he promotes us publicly. Joseph never allowed his big dreams to keep him from small assignments. Before he led Egypt, he faithfully managed Potiphar's house. Before he ruled a nation, he served faithfully in a prison. Too many people despise small opportunities because they're waiting for something bigger. But God often prepares us for the future through ordinary acts of faithfulness today. Never underestimate what God can do through consistent obedience in hidden places. Choose the road less traveled. Jesus said that there are two roads in any given situation. There's a broad road and a narrow road. And the broad road is the way most people would go. And it leads to destruction. And the narrow road, the winding road, The going to the sun road is treacherous and gnarly, and few, he said, who find it. And if you had been through as many pits as Joseph had, it would be easy to justify and rationalize the broad road, the easy way out, the low road in those moments. So let's look at two different ways where he took the road less traveled. He took the road less traveled when he came to being tempted. Because in Potiphar's house, as he was thriving and successful, he also had abs. Just so you know, he's one of four people in the entire Bible that are specifically told was handsome in face and in body. All right? So homie was jacked. And the Bible says that his master's wife began to cast longing eyes on Joseph. Potiphar's gone all the time, chopping people's heads off and stuff. And so she started to get this feeling of infatuation for Joseph. And so one day she just comes to him and says, "Lie with me. Let's have sex. My husband will never know. He's gone. Let's have sex." Now, pause right here. If you're Joseph, why would you have any allegiance or any sense of honor for a God who clearly did not take care of you? Following you, God, got me here. So you know what? Thank you. I mean, Moses hadn't even given the Ten Commandments yet. So technically, I don't even know how he even knew not to do this, right? And he clearly didn't learn this great sense of morality from his family. His dad had four wives, and Reuben, Joseph's older brother, slept with one of them, okay? So he clearly wasn't like, "Well, no, my father wouldn't do this, and Reuben wouldn't do this," right? And he's like, "You know what? Maybe I just will." But he didn't take the opportunity to have sex with Potiphar's wife. He said, "No, Mrs. Potiphar, I can't do it. Because it would be a dishonor against your husband and my God. And it would be wrong in his sight." And he knew that there was even evangelism going on, because the Bible says Potiphar knew that God was blessing his household just because Joseph was in it. And Joseph thinks of all the damage it would do to his testimony and his witness and his influence. And so he prioritized inside peace over being her side piece on this day. And he refused to go down that road. It would feel good for a minute, but I'm not forfeiting all the joy and peace that comes even in this pit from knowing that I'm following God. I'm following his plan. I got my head in the clouds. Joseph chose integrity over temporary pleasure. He chose obedience over compromise, even when it cost him dearly. Because Mrs. Potiphar persisted and persisted and persisted. And finally she just grabs his clothes. And now, the second time in his life, someone's trying to tear a jacket off him. How interesting. And at that moment, he didn't stand there and talk. He jumped out of his jacket and ran out of that house buck naked. He just got out of his robe and got out of that situation. And now she changes and she screams rape and gets her husband to come home. But I don't think he really believed that this had happened, because the Bible says he put Joseph in prison. Now, if you're the chief executioner and you really think someone did that to your wife, I think you would chief execution them, right? I get the sneaking suspicion that he knew that maybe this was not true. But he had to save face by at least making Joseph go away. So it was a little bit of a Count of Monte Cristo situation. So he just has to go out the back door and never be seen from or heard from again. So doing the right thing landed Joseph back in another pit, prison. Sometimes following God does not immediately make life easier. Sometimes obedience costs us something. But Joseph understood that inner peace with God was worth more than temporary satisfaction. Later, Joseph faced another opportunity to choose the higher road. When his brothers finally bow down before him, their sheaves of wheat are acknowledging his. They don't know it's him, and he's got all the power, second in command over all of Pharaoh's armies. And Joseph chooses to forgive them. He could have had them all put into a dungeon somewhere, but he didn't do that. He picked the road less traveled. He chose to extend forgiveness. Revenge wasn't even on his radar because he was living too high to even see it. He was flying up in the clouds, but his feet were firmly grounded and planted on this earth. So he extended forgiveness. This is what he learned. This is what maybe God's trying to teach us in this time. That may be one of the greatest victories in Joseph's life. Forgiveness does not excuse evil. It releases us from being chained to it. Joseph understood that bitterness would only imprison him again. So he extended mercy. And maybe one of the hardest roads we will ever walk is the road of forgiveness. Use what God has taught you. God never wastes pain. Everything Joseph endured prepared him for what God would eventually call him to do. Running Potiphar's household prepared him to lead a nation. Managing the prison prepared him for greater responsibility. Learning hardship gave him compassion for hurting people. Joseph discovered that the pit was not pointless. Many times the hardest seasons of our lives become the very places where God develops strength, wisdom, compassion, and spiritual depth within us. Paul wrote that God comforts us so that we may comfort others. People who have suffered often become people who can truly minister to others. Joseph became more compassionate because of his pain. Early in his story, he seemed self-focused and unaware of others. But later, while in prison, he noticed two men who were troubled, and he asked them, "Why do you look so sad today?" Now, think about that moment. Joseph himself had suffered terribly, yet he still noticed someone else's pain. Pain can either make us self-centered or compassionate. Joseph allowed suffering to deepen his empathy. Sometimes healing begins when we stop focusing only on our own pain and begin asking how God might use us to help someone else. Be honest about your emotions. Joseph did not pretend everything was fine. Throughout his story, Joseph wept openly. He cried over his pain. He cried over his family. He cried when he saw his brothers again. Faith does not mean pretending we never hurt. God is not asking us to deny our emotions. He invites us to bring them honestly to Him. The Psalms are filled with raw prayers of grief, confusion, fear, and sorrow. God can handle our honesty. Some people think faith means always sounding strong and spiritual. But real faith often says, "Lord, I don't understand this. I'm hurting. I'm confused. But I'm still bringing my heart to You." We don't have to bottle up our emotions. We can cry, grieve, wrestle honestly before God. But Joseph also teaches us not to let emotions have the final word. He processed his pain through the truth of God's promises. Again and again, he returned to this truth. God meant it for good. That truth anchored him. Our feelings matter, but God's truth is greater than our feelings. Feelings change. God's promises remain. Stay forward thinking. Joseph never lost hope for the future. Even in prison, he believed God still had more ahead for him. He never accepted the pit as his permanent destiny. And eventually, God raised Joseph up. Pharaoh had troubling dreams that no one could interpret. Joseph was brought out of prison, interpreted the dreams, and was elevated to become second in command over Egypt. The dreams God gave Joseph as a teenager finally came to pass. But by the time they were fulfilled, Joseph had become a different man. The pit had shaped him. The prison had matured him. The suffering had prepared him. At the end of his life, Joseph still spoke with hope. Even as he was dying, he told the people of Israel that God would one day bring them out of Egypt and back to the promised land. Joseph lived with confidence in God's future promises. And that's how believers are called to live today. This world is not our final home. Our hope is not anchored merely in present circumstances. Our hope is anchored in Christ because Jesus entered the ultimate pit for us. Like Joseph, Jesus was betrayed. He was rejected by his own. He was sold for silver. He suffered unjustly, but God raised him up in victory. And because Jesus rose from the grave, suffering does not get the final word. There is still hope. There is still resurrection. There is still a future. Maybe today you feel like Joseph in the pit. Maybe you feel forgotten, betrayed, exhausted, or discouraged. Hear this clearly. God has not abandoned you. You may not understand what He's doing right now. Joseph certainly didn't understand it while he sat in prison. But later he could look back and see that God had been faithful through every step. The pit was not the end of Joseph's story. And this difficult season is not the end of yours either. So keep your head in the clouds. Keep your eyes fixed on God's promises. Trust Him even when life does not make sense. Control what you can. Grow through hardship. Choose integrity. Use what God has taught you. Bring Him your honest emotions. And keep looking forward in hope. Because the same God who was faithful to Joseph is still faithful today. And He's still able to bring beauty out of brokenness, purpose out of pain, and hope out of even the darkest pit.